You may be seated, and I'd like to ask you to take God's word with me this morning to the book of Jeremiah in chapter number 3. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to preach, and I'm very thankful for this church. I know that many of you are too. The Lord has used this place in my life, and I'm thankful for our pastor. The Lord has used him in my life. And I can honestly say I wouldn't be where I am today in my own walk with the Lord if it weren't for our pastor. And so I am very thankful for the opportunity to share God's word with you this morning. And I hope and I pray that it'll be an impact. I'd like to show you really one word this morning in this passage of scripture that's repeated time and time and time again. And I draw your attention to it in verse number 1. They say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Return again to me. In verse number 7, and I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. Verse number 14, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord. And then in verse number 22, it says it once again, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your repentance. I will heal your backslidings. See, the reality is what is happening in this passage of Scripture, and we'll look more at it this morning, is the children of Israel, God's people, had gone after darkness. They had gone after wickedness. They had gone after their own desires and their own fleshly pleasures. And yet God, amidst all that they had done, continues to call them to return to Him. He continues to call them to get right with Himself. And this morning we call that a repentance. We call that repentance. Repentance is the idea that I'm going one way, I'm going towards sin, I'm going towards the wickedness of this world, and I'm turning from that wickedness, turning from sin, and turning to God. That's what God was calling them to do. He's calling them to repent, to get right with Him because of their sin. This is really one of the great foundation stones of Christianity. If you don't know what it is to repent of your sins, then it's probably true that you have never really gotten right with God. The Bible says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. And so I want to draw your attention this morning to this. There is no greater need this morning. If you have never repented, if you have never gotten right with God, there is no greater need that you have on planet Earth than to turn to Him. I don't know where you stand with God this morning. I know some of you, I've heard your testimonies. I know that many of you have the fruit of that, but some of you, I don't know very well at all. But I wonder this morning, are you looking to Jesus? Have you turned to Him? Are you right with God this morning? As we read this passage, we see that there are two nations that are mentioned. Specifically, we'll look at verse number 6 to verse number 10. And we see that God is speaking to this prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah and God are really having a conversation. Really, God is speaking to Jeremiah and asking Jeremiah this great question. You'll notice that there in verse number 6. And the Lord said also unto me, in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? So you can see God speaking to the prophet Jeremiah. And He says, have you realized, Jeremiah, what Israel has done? Now, Israel was the northern kingdom. You'll remember after King Solomon, the the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, were divided into two separate nations, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom carried on the name of Israel, while the southern kingdom, which was composed of two tribes, Benjamin and Judah, carried the name of Judah. And so as you see that in this passage, you'll see those names. Israel, which is the northern kingdom, and Judah, which is the southern kingdom. Now, Israel never once had a good king after King Solomon. That northern kingdom continued in wickedness from the day that King Solomon died. And they went after the world. They went after false gods. They went after broken cisterns, if you will. They went after emptiness. They spent all their life going towards that which was false. Now, Judah, amidst that, had a few times, the southern kingdom, had a few times when they turned back to God, or they had kings that would lead them back to the truth. And so, what we see here, though, is God says to Jeremiah, hey, have you seen what happened to Israel, a people who went after false gods? Have you seen it? Have you seen their wickedness? Have you seen what they have done? It says this, she has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. In Israel's history, everywhere you looked, they were going after false gods. The picture of God as the husband and Israel, this nation, as the wife. And he says, she's gone after false gods. She's gone after her own pleasures. She's forsaken me, the true and living God. And he says, have you seen it? Every high mountain and every green tree, everywhere you looked, there were false gods made out of stone, made out of wood, covered in gold and in silver. And people would give their lives to this. God saw this and he calls Jeremiah's attention to it. This is a picture of the unfaithful wife. This is the picture that we see really quite often in the prophets. You think of Hosea and how that whole book is about how the nation of Israel has become the harlot. They have become the adulteress. They have gone after strange gods and they have forsaken the true and living God. I wonder this morning, have you forsaken the true and living God? Have you gone after false gods? The gods of this world? Your own sins, your own iniquities? In the streets of the night, pleasing herself with the filth of this world, going after every vile and forsaken lust. That was Israel. But God, in mercy, seeing a nation that has completely forsaken Him, God says this in verse number 7, and I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. Now, God is merciful. God is gracious. God looks upon us today in our own wretchedness and our own vileness, and He looks and He says, turn to me. And He said this to Israel. He called them to return to Himself, but she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Verse number 8, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, and I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. So here's the picture of Israel, the northern kingdom. At this time, it's about 615, 612 BC, depending on how you're dating it. But the northern kingdom has been given this opportunity to get right with God. And they forsook it. They would not turn back to God. And so what happens? They go into captivity. They're overcome by the enemy. And at this point, Israel is in bondage. The northern kingdom is in bondage. And God says, I gave them the chance. I gave them the opportunity to get right with me. But they left it. And I've left them into bondage. This has happened to a lot of people in our world today. We see people who have gone so deep that they die without Christ, eternally trapped in their own wickedness and sin. But what I want to draw your attention to this morning is not Israel, not what was happening amongst Israel at this time, that backsliding nation Israel. They had gone back into the wickedness. But what I want to show you is what God calls treacherous Judah. treacherous Judah. Now, amidst all this, amidst what is happening in Israel's life, Judah, the Bible tells us, is watching. Verse number 7, and Judah saw it. Judah watched what happened to her sister, if you will. She saw the lust of the world in Israel's life. She saw how Israel went after false gods. But guess what? Judah saw it. Judah saw how God punished Israel. Judah experienced it and watched all this happen. You can imagine as two sisters and the younger sister watching the older go into sin, go into wickedness, give her life to the world. Judah was watching. She saw it. And notice what it says. And verse number 8. And I saw, when for all causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not. She saw the judgment that was upon her sister. She saw the brokenness that was in her sister's life, yet she did not fear God. I wonder, is that you today? You've seen the wretchedness of this world. You've seen the wickedness of the lure of Satan, of false gods, and how people have given their lives to such idolatry, and yet you in your own heart still don't fear God. You in your own heart, as you consider that judgment is coming, don't think. You don't think. You don't fear God. I wonder, is that you? Notice this, that she did not, Judah feared not God, to know impending destruction is coming and not to care. And notice this, but went and played the harlot also. She saw the destruction. She saw the wickedness, yet she followed in the same way. Why is it? Why is it then that when people watch other people just carry on in wickedness, they see the destruction it causes, they see how low it leaves people, why is it that people don't get right with God? This is what happened to Judah. She went and played the harlot. She followed her sister's sin. And then it says this, and it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. We could say she polluted the land. Long before all that's going on in our world today, the world has been polluted with a far more corrupting and defiling contaminant called sin. It's crazy to think that the sin was in that nation. And it was in it thick. It was in it crazy. Now you say, but this was a time when Josiah was king. Josiah was a good king. Josiah was supposed to be leading a big reformation in the nation. But the people of Judah never got right with God. They never turned back to Him. Judah, verse number 10, and yet for all this, all that her sister saw, all that Judah experienced, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. Can I tell you what happened? Judah tried to be fake. Judah tried to, feignedly is the idea of false. Judah made a false repentance. They didn't get right with God. Now, before I get too far into this, I want to tell you that the call to repentance was clear. The call on Israel and Judah was very, very clear. We looked at it in verse number 1, return again to me, saith the Lord. Verse number 7, turn thou unto me. Verse number 12, return thou backsliding Israel. Verse number 14, turn, O backsliding children. And verse 22, return ye backsliding children. God's voice was clear. God had given the opportunity to that people to get right with Him, to turn back to Him. to get on their knees before His face and to seek Him. But they would not. The call was very clear. It wasn't hidden. It wasn't just tucked away somewhere where only some people could see. The call was very clear. And I want you to know this morning that the call in your own life to get right with God is clear. Not because I have something to say, but because God's Word was very clear about it. God's Word, and you're here today listening to the words of God. Notice Christ in the New Testament, in the book of Mark chapter 1 verse 15. His message was to turn to Him. It was repent. Repent. Jesus Christ came and He looked upon the multitudes. He looked upon the lost people of this world and He said, repent, turn to God. Get right with God before time runs out. The apostles, as they went out in Mark chapter 6, they preached that man should repent. You look at Christ speaking to the disciples before His ascension. He says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. You look at Peter's very first sermon in the day of Acts, on the day of Pentecost. He says, repent ye. John the Baptist, even before Christ, said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the call today in your life to turn to God is clearer than it's ever been. Today is the day of salvation. If you are here today and you have never turned to God, and you are like backsliding Israel, you are like treacherous Judah, you are going after the wickedness of this world, the false gods of this world, then today is the day that you must turn to Him. Before it's too late. If you don't turn to God, if you don't turn to Christ, and you breathe your final breath following after your false idols, it'll be eternally too late. It'll be eternally too late. Paul said it in Acts chapter 17, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God commandeth now for all people everywhere, the word is universally, to get right with God. Because time is running out. I don't know if you, maybe you haven't realized, but the seasons are changing. The end is drawing near. The thief cometh in the night, the scripture said, and so will be Christ's return. And you might not be prepared for it, but can I tell you, today is the day to turn to Christ, to turn to God, to get right with God before it is too late. See, the reality is mankind is just like Judah. Every single one of us. And what we notice is in Judah's day, we're talking about a nation, we're talking about Israel, but each individual in that nation had to make their own choice. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were willing to make their own choice to stand up to the false idols of their day. They individually made a choice, and you today, for your own soul and your own life, must make that choice. I can't make it for you. This church can't make it for you. This nation will not make it for you. You need to make the choice. Will you get right with God? Will you repent? Will you turn to Him today before it's eternally too late? See, Israel had chosen, Judah had chosen to play the harlot. They had gone after this wickedness. They had gone after adultery with stones and with stocks. They'd rather worship that which was made with their own hands than that which is everlastingly, eternally perfect, the God of the heaven and the earth. Repentance. Jesus Christ said in Luke 13:3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. It stands true today. Unless you turn to God, you will, like Israel and Judah, perish. It's like what You can see, it says, well, that seems quite harsh. The reality is you're going to perish if you don't get right with God. That seems quite harsh. Except ye repent. Elsewhere, Christ said, except ye be born again, you cannot see heaven. And except, why is it so narrow? A lot of people say that. I was on the street yesterday and a man said that he thought there were multiple ways to heaven. But can I tell you, there is one way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. There's not a bunch of ways to God. There's one way. And it is narrow. Can I tell you, if my child, if Israel was going towards a boiling pot of water about to stick his hand in it, you know what I would say? I'd say, stop! I'd say, don't do it! It's gonna hurt you! If he was on the edge of a cliff and was about to walk off, I'd yell at him and I'd scream at him, stop Israel! Come back! If he was about to step in front of a car, I would plead with him, stop! And God Almighty today is looking at you and seeing you in your sinfulness and your wickedness and your idolatry going towards that precipice edge. And He's crying out, stop, repent, turn around before it's too late. Turn to God. Now this is what's crazy though. The Bible says that Israel didn't turn. But it tells us in verse number 10 something unique about Judah. And it says this, and yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. Now feignedly is a unique word, but it simply means this, falsely or deceptively. It means to pretend to be affected. So in other words, here's what happened is Judah, this nation, pretended to get right with God. They pretended to turn to Him. And to the world's eye, and to all those that were watching in that day, in that era, they thought that Judah, had gotten right with God. But it was only fake. I wonder, is that you this morning? I wonder, have you pretended to turn to God this morning? You know in your heart, and you've got maybe most all of us deceived this morning, but you know in your heart if you're right with God this morning. And can I tell you something? You might fool me, you might fool our pastor, you might fool this entire body of believers here this morning, but you will not fool God. They had turned falsely. They turned in a fake way. Let me show you. If you turn to 2 Kings, this is the same time period. So Josiah is the king at this time. Jeremiah is the prophet. And as Josiah is leading, he's changing in his own heart, and the Lord is doing a mighty work in King Josiah's life. It'd be like Boris Johnson getting right with the Lord. I don't know if it will happen. We ought to pray that way. But this is the idea. But the nation itself, the king is trying to lead these people to the truth. The king is trying to see these people get right with God. And guess what happens? In 2 Kings chapter 23 in verse number 1, the Bible says this. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. Imagine that. Imagine an entire city, an entire nation coming together into one place before the temple of God. And there stands King Josiah, and he brings all the people together. Thousands and thousands of people. And it says this, that he read in their ears the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. He read to them the word of God. He read to them that truth. Verse number 3, and the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord. He made a commitment. He made a promise in his own heart and life before God Almighty to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul as a commitment with everything they have to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And notice this. And all the people stood to the covenant. All the people. Now we know, because we just read it in Jeremiah, that their standing and their commitment to this covenant was false. But in the eyes of their king, in the eyes of all the people around them, they all stood and said, I'm going to repent and turn to God. But it was false. I wonder why they falsely turned to God. I wonder why. I think some of them probably stood to appease someone else. Maybe to please their king. Yes, I want to be close to the king and in the king's palace, so I'll stand. I will follow the covenant. I will repent and get right with God. To appease someone else, to make someone else happy. Maybe some of them did it for personal benefit. They thought if they would repent and they would turn, that maybe things would be better. Maybe they didn't like the temple and the groves right next to their house there. So they thought, well, he'll cut that down and it'll clean things up for me and it'll benefit me. I'll turn to that. Maybe some of them turned because it was just flippant. Well, I don't really know what's happening, but I'll turn. I'm here. I've come all this way. I've listened to a man read. If I stand up, maybe we can go home. Flippantly. They didn't count the cost. But I think that most of the people that day stood and they falsely repented, they falsely turned to God because they were following the crowd. People began to stand and they didn't want to be the only ones not standing. It's totally, totally opposite to what happened in the days of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When everyone else bowed, they were willing. Three young boys were willing to stand in total opposition to the entire nation. Because they were right with God. And I wonder this morning, are you right with God? I know, I'm certain, because I've spoken to some of you, that there are some of you here this morning that are refusing to turn. And you're turning and many people's eyes, they think that you're right with God. But deep down in your own soul, you know you're not. I wonder how long will you continue serving false gods? The God of yourself, the God of your own soul and mind, of your pleasures. You've done an outward show. You stood when everyone else stood. It's easy to stand when everyone else is standing. But it's hard to stand when everyone else is bowing. It was false. See, the reality is, and you see this in the book of Jeremiah, that the Lord in Jeremiah chapter 3 was not happy with a fake repentance. He is not happy with an outward show. He's not happy just because I can put on a suit and a tie and just because I can do this or that, I can wear a skirt. That's not what he's looking for. He's look, yet for this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart. Can I tell you, God wants your heart today. He wants your soul. And not a part of it, not a piece of it. He wants all of it. He wants you. Present your body a living sacrifice. Would you give yourself? Would you turn to Him today? It's interesting. People wonder why they don't have true joy, lasting peace, contentment, satisfaction. And it's because they've not had true repentance. They've never truly gotten right with God. Now, amidst all this, amidst the chaos that was happening here and how Judah was faithfully following the Lord, they were not sincere. They were not true. There was a man by the name of Josiah, 2 Chronicles, chapter number 34, a man by the name of Josiah, who was their king, who is trying to lead them, who is trying to make a difference. Notice what it says about his repentance. This is a picture of true repentance, what it was really like to have true change in his heart and life. Starting in verse number 27, because... Now this is God speaking to Josiah. Because thine heart was tender. His heart was pliable. It was soft. It was not a hardened heart. It was the fallow ground had been broken up. It was good soil. His heart was ready to receive. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself. He abased himself. He lowered himself before God. You don't need to humble yourself before a priest this morning. You don't need to humble yourself before some sort of religious elite or leader. You need to humble yourself this morning before God. When thou heardest the words, have you heard the words of judgment against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me? I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Josiah's heart was tender. It was soft. It was humble. And can I tell you, it was broken. He wept before God. He wept before God because he knew that he was wrong and that he wanted to turn to him. He knew that he had gone after sin. He knew that he had gone after the false gods of this world, and he wanted to be right with God. So he turned to him. I wonder this morning, do you want to be right with God? Will you turn to Him? Maybe you're a Christian and you're backsliding. Well, get right with God today. Don't continue in that. Don't get stuck in a cesspit of backsliding where you're just stuck in the mire for years and years and years. Turn to God. He has not moved. He is waiting with open arms. Turn. He said it to Israel. He said it to Judah. He said it in the New Testament, and he says it to us today, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I wonder, as Christ, as God, in Acts 17:30, commandeth all men everywhere to repent, I wonder, will you turn to God today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to turn to Thee. Help us to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Lord, I pray for those here this morning that are lost and for some reason have seemed to refuse to turn to Thee. Lord, I pray and ask that Thou wouldst draw them unto Thyself. Lord, that Thou wouldst see them, set their eyes upon Thee. Save their souls, O Lord. I pray for those of us who have struggled and backslidden in our lives, who have never, we've gotten right with Thee, but continue to go back to old, wicked habits. Continue to go back to our vomit, Lord. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so the fool to his folly, Lord. Help us to turn to Thee. Help us to turn to Thee, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name.